Welcome to the USA Hockey Magazine podcast, the voice of hockey in America, with your host, Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine.
Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. We are joined once again by legendary U.S. coach Lou Vero, who is recently getting ready to go over to Italy to serve as a technical advisor to the Italian Ice Hockey Federation. When he comes back, Lou will be inducted into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame on December 4th in Minneapolis. So we wanted to just talk to Lou a little bit and get some of his thoughts. Lou, thanks again for joining us.
You're welcome.
So, you know, you've received a number of honors around the world for your work in hockey, and now you're going to be honored closer to home with the induction into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. Just some of your thoughts about being inducted.
Well, I was very surprised. I was at my desk one day and on the phone, and Dave Ogren walked in, and he had a smile on his face, so I figured I was getting a raise or getting fired. And he sat down, he waited for me to finish, and he smiled. He said, "I'm just so delighted to bring you this news." He said, "You've been unanimously inducted into the USA Hockey Hall of Fame. And I'm thrilled for you." He and I started together within a week of each other in 1978 when it was called AHOUS, Amateur Hockey Association of the United States. Took me 2 weeks then just to be able to say that. it is a great honor. I'm surprised. I actually never gave it I gave it a little thought, but not much thought, because I saw other people that were inducted. And so, of course, you say to yourself, "Oh, I wonder if they'll ever think of me." And then I get embarrassed by it because I don't think I'm worthy of it. So it's a great honor, but it's a little complicated emotionally, because you don't think you're good enough for stuff like that. That's for real legends of the game, I think, especially players. And but you can't turn it down. I asked Fisher if I could say no. He said, "No, you can't, idiot. Just accept it graciously and move on." So I've done that, and I'm deeply humbled by it, very thankful to those who considered me, and happy for the other inductees, all three of them, of course, I know very, very well, and always enjoyed them, and I'm delighted for them.
The other inductees, for anybody who doesn't know, are legendary college coach Jeff Sauer, who just recently coached our U.S. sled team to a gold medal. You've got Karin Bye, who is one of the, in my opinion, one of the greatest female hockey players of all time. And then you've got Brian Rafalski, who enjoyed a great NHL and Olympic career. Do you have a lot of involvement with those guys, those people over the years? I know Jeff you probably know very well.
Jeff is everything you said he is, and then multiply that by 10. He's a hell of a guy. He's not just a great hockey man, hockey coach, hockey specialist. He's a wonderful father, husband, human being. He's a delightful, wonderful man. He's brought nothing but good to the game. Brian Rafalski was a hell of a player. And he proved that on the ice with his accomplishments. But he was a smaller guy, and he played at Wisconsin, and he went to Finland. And we saw him. I remember Art Berglund telling me, "Lou, you got to see this kid play. He should be in the NHL." Well, I did see him play. He joined us on a team we put together with Larry Reed and Art and JJ. And we went, and Web Dog, we went to Klagenfurt to get out of the B pool. And we added Rafalski, based on Art's recommendation, and I saw him take two shifts. I said, "He should be in the NHL." I was right, and he was. That year, he ended up with the Devils, and he went on to a glorious NHL career, and he's a true Hall of Famer. And Mrs. Bye is an interesting gal. She's not only a great player, but I probably know her as well as any of the women that ever played in our national program, not just because she was a true great hockey player. What a delightful, wonderful individual she is. I've never seen her with an ounce of negativism. Smiling, upbeat, committed, carried our flag with great, great great dignity, respect, and honor. So I'm humbled to be inducted with those three terrific people.
Absolutely.
And the Lester Patrick Award winners. Bill Daly, who's nothing short of a sensational vice president. I think that's what he is, vice commissioner. With the he's a big shot in the NHL. He's great, and a great human being and a down-to-earth guy. And Paul Holmgren, who was the toughest player. Fred Shiro told me Paul Holmgren's the toughest hockey player he's ever known, and he was a hell of a player. Any coach, GM, whatever he does, he's good at.
Absolutely. So have you started crafting your speech, or is it just going to you're just going to wing it and speak from the heart?
Well, I go last, so there'll probably be like 3 minutes left, and people want to get rid of me anyway and go home. So I'll make it as short as I can and to the point. And Harry, I've spoken a lot at events in my life, and shame on me probably, but I'm not big into writing speeches. I just go up and talk.
Right.
Like I'm talking to my friends in the street in Brooklyn when I grew up. I don't, because I can't stand politicians. Most of them are phonies. And I don't want to be a phony when I speak to a group of people that have been there to help share the evening. And I have to tell them exactly how I feel from my heart. But if it's not good enough, so.
Absolutely.
It's not good enough. That's who I am.
I wanted to ask you, we talked last time, we were talking about your involvement over with the Italian Ice Hockey Federation, and I wanted to, the one thing I didn't ask you about was, is I know back in this, a number of years ago, you went over to Russia and you worked with the great Russian coach, Tarasov. How do you, did that experience change you as a person and as a coach, and how does that stay with you as you're going to be moving forward and in serving as an advisor with the Italians?
Well, let me just say there's so many people I'm grateful to, from Bart Grillo to Eddie Escanzi to, you never heard of these guys, they're great hockey people, to Anatoly Tarasov, Arkady Chernyshev, Ladislav Horsa, oh, man, the Dr. Koska from the Czechs, Bukac, goes on and on and on. And, of course, Fred Shiro, Emil Francis, Max McNabb, they were sensational people, mentors to me, and helped me so much. Here's what it did. Tarasov changed my life. What I saw him do in hockey, I can honestly say this, and I don't mean to belittle or say anything again that might be construed as saying something against any other person. It's not. I think he's the greatest hockey coach. I think he's the greatest coach, period, in anything that ever lived. Changed the game. What you see, every country benefited from him. We have tremendously. Canada has. But Sweden, Finland, Czech, Slovakia, everybody benefited. He changed the game of hockey. He changed how you approach coaching. What he introduced dry land training. He's the guy that introduced it. People have studios and big businesses out of it today. He told me he was walking down a street in Moscow. He heard noise. He looked in a window of a theater, and the Mosseyev dancers were training, and he watched them through the window, and Mosseyev invited them in, and he realized right then and there they didn't have a lot of money and ice time in Russia in the mid-40s, early 50s. They didn't have it. So he saw the way they could jump, the explosiveness, and he connected that to starting speed of a hockey player. He said, maybe if I train the players like this, that'll transfer onto the ice in their explosiveness, and we'll gain a half a step on our opponents, etc. And that's what he did. And then he just expanded it. There's the man that brought dry land training into hockey. Everybody else has benefited, copied, and changed it. When I studied that under him, he told me never to copy it directly. Always put your own twist for your own particular needs and the culture of your people. And I've always done that, and I've tried to share that with other people. So he was a huge influence. And what he did for us, I want to try to help. I'm no Tarasov, but I want to be able to share some ideas and some thoughts with the Italians so they can improve their hockey. And most people in the game of hockey have been kind and generous to me and to USA Hockey, and I think we should be the same to everybody we get.
Absolutely. And the other, another person I just wanted to ask your thoughts about was you know, you worked very closely with Herb Brooks, and you, I mean, obviously, you know, working with him in 1980 and again in 2002, just hit some of the things that maybe you took away from his coaching style.
Well, Herb was pretty direct and honest with the players, I think, to sometimes to his detriment. But I like that. I'm the same way in that regard. That reinforced, that's a good way to be, honest with the players. Tell them the truth right to their face. Don't tell them how great they are and then cut them 10 minutes later, you know. Because then they'll say, well, what'd you cut me for if I'm so great, yeah. You know? Herb was a winner. I don't believe anybody or any combination of anybody could do what he did in 1980. He was the perfect coach for that hockey team, which was a great hockey team, by the way. They were not little college kids that couldn't play. These were great hockey players. And he got every single ounce of anything they had to give, they gave. He was a leader. And to be a good coach, you got to be more than a good coach. You got to be a good leader. And that was probably his strongest suit. He would have been a great senator, president, general in the army, commander-in-chief. He would have been good at any of that. He was a special person. I worked with a lot of great coaches, and each one of them were different. Tarasov was unique. Mm-hmm. Brooks was unique. Johnson, each of them. Everyone's unique. And what made them unique was they were comfortable to be themselves. And I always tell coaches, you can borrow things from other coaches. Scotty Bowman, he's still great. He could go right now and coach any team in the world, Scotty Bowman, and he's 80 years old, I think, and he would be as good as he was when he was 40 or 50. He was great. You got to be yourself if you coach, and that's what I learned from all those guys, because each one of them was themselves. Tim Taylor, Dave Peterson, these guys were great coaches. Mm-hmm. They may not have the name recognition of some of the others. They were great coaches. Bob O'Connor, a former coaching chief, was a great coach. And the world didn't know that. These guys were all great.
Absolutely. You know, you were talking before about, you know, starting off and being involved with the coaching program, with the player development program. Now we have the American development model. And these are a lot of the things that you were influential in getting them off the ground and getting them going. What is, you look at USA Hockey today in 2014, what is the thing, if there is one thing or a number of things that you're the most proud of, because you've been here for so many years?
Well, of course, I love all the new things we're doing, and a lot of them were built on what we have done in the past or ideas that came up when we didn't have money to do some of those things. I think the single most important thing, and let me say this now so that everyone who's listening gets it right, because I've sat in banquets and annual congresses, and, you know, I've been at every annual congress since 1979. And so I think I do know what goes on. And I've heard more people step forward and take credit for things they didn't do or they might have been a part of, but a part of. They didn't initiate it. Let me tell you how the camp started. Colonel Miller, at the time, was in charge of the U.S. Olympic Committee, and it was right here. It still is at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. And Thayer Tutt was the president of USA Hockey and chairman of the board of the Broadmoor Hotel. That's where our office was, rent-free. And one day, Thayer and Hal Trumbull, who was executive director, and he was a great, great executive director, great man, they said, Lou, we're having a meeting. At the time, Art Berglund was general manager of the Broadmoor World Arena, worked for Thayer Tutt, and was a volunteer in what was A House then. In fact, he was the first referee in chief for USA Hockey or for A House. And the four of us met with Colonel Miller, and he suggested that we put together a camp of 15 and 16-year-olds. The Olympic Committee really started the camps. They said, we want to do this for all the sports and as a developmental program. And we discussed it. We thought it was a good idea. They were going to pay for it. So we had our first camp ever in Squaw Valley, California. Bob Johnson, Dave Peterson, Al Godfrey, Ludi something. Can't think of his last name. He sold fur coats, and he was also a youth hockey guy. And his kid, and Grant Stanberg, myself, Art, Tom Ossington. Well, we all went to Squaw Valley. Chris Chelios was a player there from San Diego, 16 years old, and other wonderful kids were there. And that was the first camp ever. It was a regional camp. It was the Pacific. And Joe Rogers, Salt Lake City, ran it. He was the volunteer guy in charge. It was fabulous. A week of great hockey. And that continued for several years. And then I was always angry because I came from Brooklyn, New York. We didn't even have a rink. And I wanted to be an NHL hockey player. That was my dream. And I said, we got to do more to help kids in other parts of the country. And I went in to see Hal. And Dave Ogren was an eyewitness to this. I said, Hal, I'd like to recommend that we have a national camp for player development. 80 kids, and we can base it on the number of team. In those days that we didn't have individual registration, we had team. In other words, the district with the most teams got the most players. However, it would figure out mathematically. Minnesota had the most teams, so they had the most players, I think 17. And then every other district has to have representation. Even if the 300th best player in Minnesota was 10 times better than the best player from the Southeast, we had to have somebody representing every area. It's USA hockey. It's not Minnesota hockey or Michigan hockey or Mass hockey. We got to respect every area. And it may not be balanced at the beginning, but maybe in 20, 25 years, we'll have players from other parts of the country. So Hal threw me out. And he said, drop it. That's how he spoke. He crossed it out with a red pencil. I had it all written out. He said, we can't afford it. I said, we'll find the money. And I went in every day. Every day I sent him the same thing, and I asked him for a meeting, and he was getting tired of me. And I didn't care if he fired me. I'd go back to coaching in Minnesota. I enjoyed it. I didn't care. I took it personal. What about kids from New York? What about kids from California, Alaska, Florida, Texas? They want to play too. They need to be respected. And what about the future? So finally, one day, he chuckled at me. He said, you don't give up, do you? I said, no. Well, this can work. You've got to trust me on this. It can work. And we had another argument. I called him a name. I should have been fired on the spot, but he didn't. He laughed. He said, yeah, maybe I want to be. That's what he said to me. And then the next day, he called me in, and he said, all right, we'll try it. Figure it all out. I want who, where, why, what, when. Budget. Bring it to me. So I did. And we did it. We had our first national camp right here in Colorado Springs. And lo and behold, the worst player was decent. And he was from Huntsville, Alabama. His name was Johnson. Good kid. And I think that really started a huge change in hockey in our country. It took 20, 25 years. I look at the rosters now. It's unbelievable where kids are from. Now, there's other reasons. NHL expansion. Wayne Gretzky, but he went to the Kings. You could say college expansion, minor league expansion. There's no one single reason, but the most prominent reason, in my opinion, were our international camps. And they were development camps, but they were really more identification than development. Only you can do so much in a week. But you can do a lot. It's a lot more than having nothing.
Right.
So I was delighted with I've always looked back at that, and I look now at Ann Arbor and chuckle when I see kids from Las Vegas and, you know, Des Moines, Iowa, and all these places, and I'm just so happy that we've become USA Hockey, and we truly represent the country. I would like to see more kids of color playing and more minority groups playing, more Native people, more Asians, Hispanics, and Black kids. And the door is open. All they got to do is step forward and say they want to play. And we do have a diversity task force and other programs for that. But we need to be an all-inclusive sport. Even though it's an expensive sport, there's always a way. You know?
Absolutely.
There's always a way. If kids can buy tennis shoes for $200, they can buy skates for $200. There's always a way to do it if you want to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, on that note, we probably have taken up too much of your time, but once again, want to congratulate you on a well-deserved honor of being inducted into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame on December 4th in Minneapolis. Look forward to seeing you there, and thanks again for joining us.
Well, you're very, very welcome, and I thank you and everybody who's ever lent support to USA Hockey or to me personally. I thank you so much. Got a lot of friends in the game and love every minute of it, and I have no plans to retire. Told Dave Ogren that February 25th on my 90th birthday would be my last day.
Well, we look forward to having you here for that long. And thanks for everybody for listening, and tune in again for another USA Hockey Magazine podcast.
You've been listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast, produced by Norman Hayward and Mark Burns. Be sure to follow us at usahockeymagazine.com, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for listening.